Okay, so generative AI, right? That's like the E buzzword.
Totally.
But how do you actually like make it work with all the stuff you already have? It can be a bit overwhelming to figure out. That's what's cool about this guide we're looking at.
Yeah.
Integrating generative AI into existing IT infrastructure sounds intense,
Yeah.
right? But it's all about fitting Gen AI into the picture
Right.
without needing to like scrap everything and start over, which
Exactly.
is a relief
Yeah.
because that can be a terrifying
Yeah.
thought. And the guide's emphasis on like, incremental adoption, that's got to be music to a lot of people's ears.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially when you think about companies that have already got all this like existing infrastructure in place, you can't just rip and replace everything overnight. So yeah,
Yeah.
starting small, building it in gradually.
So I'm not ditching my SQL databases just yet.
No, don't worry about that. They're not going anywhere. In fact, the way GenAI uses data, it actually kind of works well with the systems you've already got. It's more about expanding what you can do, not like starting from scratch.
Okay, good. So, expand on that a little.
Sure. So like the thing with GenAI is it needs these special databases called vector
The
databases.
vector databases.
Yeah, have you heard about them?
I've seen the term, but honestly, I'm a bit fuzzy on what they actually are.
Right. Well, think of it this way. They're designed for the unique stuff that AI needs to do, like similarity search. It's a big deal for AI applications.
Data harmony.
Mm.
It's a nice concept,
Yeah.
but help me wrap my head around it. How do these vector databases work with my good old SQL setup? And what's this similarity search all about? Give me the breakdown.
Okay, yeah. Imagine you're trying to like build one of those recommendation
Like,
engines.
if you bought this, you'll love that kind of thing.
Exactly. So with a vector database, you can store all this complex data about products or, customer preferences, but you store it as these things called vectors. And then the similarity search, it lets you find instantly stuff that's similar based on those vectors. So like if one customer loved this specific product, you can find other customers with similar tastes and boom recommendations.
Right. Makes sense. So it's about using the right tool for the job, right?
Yes.
I guess that's where these platforms like Pinecone and QDrank come in. I keep hearing those names.
Yeah, they're big players in the vector database space for sure, but the main point is you can have your SQL, you can have your vector database. They can work together,
Right.
and that gives you a more well-rounded data system.
Okay, the data part, I'm starting to get it. But how do we actually get this Gen AI tech to play nice with the systems we're already using, APIs? That seems to be a key part of the puzzle.
Oh, APIs are crucial. They're like the bridge. Let's say you're thinking about using a chatbot for customer service, right?
That's actually something we've been kicking around.
Perfect example. So you use APIs to connect your customer database, your ticketing system, all that,
Straight up.
to a chatbot that's powered by, let's say, a LangChain model or something from Hugging Face. The chatbot can then pull up customer history, see what issues they've had, maybe even suggest solutions, all while still talking to your existing backend.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Super practical. Okay, but hold on. Now we've got all this fancy new AI stuff running. What about keeping an eye on it all? Do our IT folks need to suddenly become experts in a whole new set of tools? That seems like a big ask.
It's a valid concern,
Yeah.
definitely. But thankfully, you can usually stick with tools your team already knows, like Prometheus or CloudWatch, maybe Azure Monitor. You just extend them to cover these Gen AI components.
Okay, so it's not like a total overhaul, more like an upgrade.
More or less, yeah.
That makes me feel better. But what are we actually monitoring with these tools when it comes to Gen AI? What kind of stuff should we even be looking at?
Great question. See, with Gen AI, it's not just about whether the system is up or down. It's about how well the model itself is doing.
Right. The model's the heart of it. So what, like, how accurate its predictions are?
Exactly. You want to watch for things like model drift. It's this thing where a model's accuracy can kind of like decay over time if the data it's trained on gets old. And inference latency, that basically means how fast the model responds. It's super important if you need real-time answers.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, hybrid cloud seems like a smart move for Gen AI, right? You get the scalability of the cloud, but you keep control of sensitive stuff on premise. But managing two environments, that sounds like a recipe for headaches.
Yeah, it can get tricky, no doubt. I think the biggest thing is being really picky about what you put in the cloud.
Like choosing the right workloads.
Yeah, exactly. Figure out what really needs that cloud flexibility and what's better off staying local because of like sensitivity or if it needs to be super fast. So
Yeah.
maybe you run your super critical stuff on premise, but all the heavy-duty training happens in the cloud on services like AWS SageMaker or Google Vertex AI.
Makes sense. Then there's this whole world of containers and orchestration. Docker, Kubernetes.
Oh, yeah. Those are game changers for deploying AI models, no question.
But they sound intimidating.
It can seem that way, yeah. Think of containers like self-contained boxes for your models, right? Makes them easy to move around and deploy anywhere.
Okay.
And if your team is already using Kubernetes, you can just like slot these containerized models right into your workflow, no big disruption.
So if you're already on that train,
yeah.
It makes Gen AI adoption smoother.
Way smoother. You manage Gen AI stuff just like any other application.
So we've talked tech, data, all that. But at the end of the day, none of this works if your people aren't ready.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. You got to get your team up to speed. Training, for sure. Focus training on things like specific AI frameworks, cloud infrastructure, how to manage the whole AI life cycle.
So basically, turn your current team into the Gen AI gurus.
Exactly. Make them the champions of this whole integration effort.
But I'm guessing it's not just about giving them the technical skills.
You're right. This Gen AI thing, it needs a shift in mindset, too. A little culture change, maybe?
Like what? What kind of culture change?
Well, it's about being open to trying new things, you know?
Yeah.
Experimenting, continuous learning, and maybe even getting a little bit comfortable with things not being perfectly clear all the time.
Yeah.
AI, it changes fast.
Always evolving.
Yeah. So you got to be flexible, ready to adjust as you go.
So the big takeaway here is you don't have to jump into the Gen AI deep end all at once.
Right.
There's a way to do it step by step, starting with what you have.
Yep. Build on your tech, your data.
And your people.
Yeah, that's the key.
It's about understanding what Gen AI can do, finding the right spots to use it, and then getting your tech and your team ready to make it happen.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So while you're listening to this, think about your own setup. Where's the best place to start experimenting with Gen AI in your world? Maybe it's that chatbot we talked about. Maybe it's dipping your toes into hybrid cloud. What do you think?
I think that's the perfect question to leave our listeners with.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time.
It's been a pleasure.